This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Good Food Podcast. In this episode, Matty Edgell will be speaking with me, Samuel Goldsmith, about life after winning Bake Off, plus his plans for his wedding cake.
We spoke to a few cake people and like all of the starting prices were £500.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I said to like, I can 100, even if it's £450, I can do it cheaper. And if it's no good, then at least it's on me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've not spent £500 on
it. Exactly, there we go.
We've also got some surprise questions from a fellow contestant. We're thrilled to have in the studio today, Matty Edgell. Thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, most people will know you from having won the Great British Bake Off.
Yeah.
How's life been since you've been given the trophy?
A bit of a whirlwind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been very busy. Very busy, but very good at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's strange because a lot has changed, but then equally, day to day, nothing has changed. So I'm kind of like, I don't know what's going on most of the time.
Because you're still teaching,
still
is that
teaching,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So is this your half term?
No, school have been really accommodating, okay, to be fair. So I've got a day off today. but I'm wary as to how many of them I can ask for.
Fair enough. Yeah. I guess, though, they've got a Bake Off winner in their midst. So it kind of is good for them as well.
I think so. Yeah.
And when I was watching Bake Off, you obviously talked about how you hid your baking skills from lots of people, but obviously now they must know that you're a baker. So what was their reaction like when you were suddenly like, oh, actually I'm all right, yeah, I'm quite good at baking?
Well, I remember we get told that we're going to be released to the public on this date, and we thought it was going to be at like 9 o'clock in the morning, but it turns out it was like 1 minute past midnight on this Tuesday, which is the Tuesday prior to the first episode. So I woke up and my phone had gone like nuts. So yeah, all of a sudden there's like loads of people like, what? But yeah, secret's well and truly out.
What did they say?
They was just like in disbelief. I think I'd have been in disbelief as well if one of my friends was just had thrown themselves on a TV show about baking and had never mentioned it before.
Yeah. So do you think they had sort of less expectation that you would do well, or because they didn't know what your baking skills were like?
Possibly. I don't know if they'd maybe they would admit that. I don't know.
Or they must have tasted your baking, right?
Yeah. So like the kind of like light bulb moment was we had an engagement party, and prior to that, no one had known that I'd baked, and I made a cake. And I heard someone asking Lara, who's my fiance, where did you buy the cake from? And I heard that, so it wasn't said to me or said for my ears at all. So I kind of heard it, and I thought, oh, maybe I'm not so bad. And then yeah. Next thing you know, Lara's applying for me.
What I would like to know is, will you be making your wedding cake?
Yeah. I'm making it. Yeah.
Are you?
I am. Yeah. So I wasn't going to.
No.
And then that comment from the engagement party happened. And then we started going to like wedding fairs to get all stuff done. And we spoke to a few cake people and like all of the starting prices were £500.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I said to like, I can 100, even if it's £450, I can do it cheaper. And if it's no good, then at least it's on me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've not spent £500 on it.
Exactly. There we go.
And can you tell us anything about it? Any of the flavours, what it might look like?
It's going to be relatively simple. We're going to put the florist's going to put some flowers around it and we'll let them kind of...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To take a little bit of pressure off of me. Lara says she wants some flecks of colour in there, so we'll do our best with that. Flavours, the bottom tier is going to be the same as the Bake Off final cake. So
yeah.
Chocolate Genoese, French buttercream, chocolate French buttercream, and some brownie as
lovely.
Well.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. That's a twist that no cake needs, but it's very good, I promise.
Well, also, you had the specks of colour in your Bake Off showstopper.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm going to try and marry it to the, I think the bridesmaids are wearing burnt orange. I'll try and match it as best I can, I think.
Be easier to match the wedding to the cake that you made.
Yeah, we've gone wrong here, haven't we?
Because I think that is the hardest bit. I've made a couple of wedding cakes, and it is definitely the hardest bit is the decoration of it.
Yeah.
So the florist, I think getting the florist involved is a very good idea.
We've actually got this, we've got this cake stand, which the cake will sit in, and it allows flowers to be put in and around it. So no flowers, I don't think, will be in the cake anymore.
Sure.
It's almost like a, I don't know what it's called, but it looks nice.
What about using the Bake Off cake stand?
Oh, that's a plot twist. I've not thought of that. That makes it about me.
Yeah,
again,
exactly.
Though,
why not? Oh, I forgot I'd put that there. And one of the things that you said on Bake Off was that it usually takes you a few mistakes to learn when baking. And actually, I felt like in this day and age, you know, that's something that we can kind of like reflect in general on daily life. Do you find that something that you carry over to other parts of your life as well?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think failure is just inevitable, isn't it? What you do with that is quite defining. And I think Bake Off was like a whole journey of failing and coming back from it. And even those that went out had failed and come back from it at various points. And a lot of it was kind of like luck of the draw on the day. And I think it's important that sometimes you're going to face criticism and how you handle that criticism and what you take from it. And Paul and Prue were experts at telling you what wasn't good, but what you didn't always necessarily see in the show was that they then went on to explain why and how it can be improved. And I tried to zone in on the second half of the sentence rather than the first half, and that allowed me to improve as the weeks went on.
It's very easy, isn't it, sometimes to concentrate on what has gone badly and not think, well, actually, it's easy to change that or to tweak it slightly.
Yeah, for sure.
Or I remember watching the bit of the steamed puddings, where literally all of you, it was so funny. But I kind of love that everybody's steam puddings basically collapsed.
It's a good job they did as well, because otherwise I was a goner, wouldn't I?
Do you find that your teaching as well kind of helps with that?
Yeah, I think, through teaching for sure. I didn't realise kind of like how many tools it sharpened aside from actually just delivering and teaching a class of students. It's quite beneficial in lots of areas. But yeah, certainly that has helped a lot.
And how did they feel about it when you came back?
Students?
Yeah, were they like, sir, that's so good?
Do you know what? I was most nervous for them finding out.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't. They had no idea. And then to find out that their teacher, who they probably, if they had to pick out of all of them, they probably wouldn't have chose me as number one. But they were so supportive.
Yeah.
Like, went in a couple of times that you knew on a Wednesday, if I knew I'd had a ropey week, I was going to get it a little bit. But it was all done in good faith.
Yeah.
And when I had a really good week as well, like, I taught year 10s on a Wednesday morning, and I walked into the changing room most weeks to a standing ovation.
Oh, that's
and these aren't the sort of boys that you'd expect to be watching Bake Off. So probably nice to have probably broken down a few stereotypes within my school as well, maybe.
And have they got you into the food tech kitchen?
Not yet. There's time. There's still time.
You'll be judging like a Christmas cake competition every year now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you still want to carry on teaching?
Yeah, do you know, I do... I'm very fortunate in the sense of I enjoy it. It doesn't feel like a chore to go to work, which is always a good thing. I am keen to kind of explore what this new world could be, but I'm not really forcing. Do you know what I mean?
I'm
hopeful that I can explore this full time.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't really need to force it because I don't dislike my day job, so I'm in a fortunate position.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a favourite moment from Bake Off? Is there one thing that you still sort of look back on now and think that was my proudest achievement, other than winning, obviously?
Proudest achievement. There's so many like little bits where let's go sausage rolls.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was really toying with whether or not I just went for a classic sausage roll. I put some caramelized onions in there, but the general theme was very classic, like what you'd probably expect if you was to have a sausage roll.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if that was playing it too safe. And it ended up working in my favour. Mm. But that was a proud moment because the handshake, it's...
I was going to say, is it because of the handshake?
I think so, because you don't realise until the first person gets it.
Yeah.
And all of the crew clap as well. And you're like, wow, that's it's complete validation of that bake being a good one. And it helps when you do well on the Saturday or on the first day of filming, which is generally a Saturday, because you're confident going into the showstopper, which...
Ah, okay. Yeah. You can relax a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. I found that if I had a ropey day one, day two, you really feel like you've got to pull it out of the bag. And sometimes that's pressure you don't need.
Yeah, because baking, I think a lot of people bake because they want to feel like some kind of relaxation. Other than maybe we all like, well, most of us like to eat like a sweet treat. I think you quite often bake because, yeah, it's sort of a bit of a mindful activity.
Exactly. I think there's two sides of me. There's one that's really sporty and there's one that really likes food and cooking and baking. And both probably give me the same kind of satisfaction. At the end of it, you feel good because you've created something. Baking a little bit better because you get something to eat at the end of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I can't always rely on sport. So that's probably what got me into food and cooking. And yeah, I find it really satisfying and rewarding at the end.
Yeah, actually, I used to be a food tech teacher.
Did you?
Yeah, so I used to teach in schools. And I think that was the one thing that every pupil I would find loved is that you get that product at the end of the lesson. And I think it's something that why teaching children to cook is so good, because like they love it. Well, not obviously it's good for them, their future, but
yeah, it's also a vital life skill, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it is that sense of achievement immediately. And I guess P is probably quite similar.
Yeah, because these are the things that you don't realise you need as you get older until you need them, and like the importance that they have on just your life. If you're active and you're moving a lot, you feel better about yourself. If you're eating well, and if you can find the time to eat some good food at the same time, then you're buzzing.
Absolutely.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
Looking forward, what do you hope the future holds now?
I'd really like a cookbook, I think. Mm. It's not something that I ever expected I would have.
Sure.
But now more than ever, it's probably quite a realistic prospect, I hope. But yeah, so I think if I get nothing else out of all of this, a cookbook would be quite cool. Something like to go into the shops and see my face on a book, as weird as that would be.
But you and Paul shaking your hand on
that'd
the front
cover.
That
would be quite cool, wouldn't it?
What would the theme be?
I feel like I've found like where I've been working quite hard on my social media, and I feel like I found where I belong at this moment in time. And it's people that aren't necessarily confident or don't feel that they're overly competent, but want to give it a go. That's the people I want to target. People that have like the interest, but don't necessarily feel that they have the ability yet. And with hopefully a few recipes that maybe get gradually... Yeah. Build your confidence. That'd be what I'd like.
Kind of like holding their hand through the process.
Exactly, yeah. And a lot of it is through trial and error. And as long as, if it doesn't work out, which it might not always, and even I made a cake on the weekend, I had to do it three times. it happens. But not throwing in the towel, and maybe trying to look into the why it didn't work, so the next time it does work is an important part for me as to what I want to achieve in a book.
I guess, like we were saying earlier, that sense of like just learn from that failure rather than just chuck the towel in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If I could get people, rather than spending £20 on someone's birthday cake that's pre-bought and probably, well, definitely doesn't taste as nice, that if they was to spend £20 on the ingredients and make it, and the person receiving it will be we'll really recognise the effort that's gone into it as well.
And it will probably be tasty, right?
100% it will. Yeah, it might not always look the best. And because some of the stuff I make don't look the best. Because that does take practice and time. Yeah. And but yeah, the taste, it all tastes the same when you're chewing
it. I think so. Yeah, I think it's, I think sometimes we look at it and we go, no, that's not right. That's not perfect.
Yeah.
But actually, I think, especially with baking, because it's got sugar in it, so it's probably going to taste fine.
You can't go wrong with that stuff, really. Can you?
I feel like unless, you know, okay, yeah, if maybe they've like grated some raw potato in and they're like, oh, you really have gone wrong. But I feel like if it just doesn't look perfect, it's fine. It's going to taste
100%.
Good. 100%. So something that we ask everybody that joins us is about their favourite dish.
Okay.
So have you got like a dish that either you ate growing up or there's something that you just always go back to now? As what would be your favourite dish?
I think my favourite dish, it stems back to like a place, a country that I love going to most, which is Italy.
Oh,
yeah. So yeah. It's just, and it's really straightforward. It's just a tagliatelle with just a tomato sauce. And that probably sounds really simple, but it's so, so effective. And
sometimes the simplest food is the best.
It's not to be overlooked at all, is it? And I think that's why sometimes we forget how good the simple stuff is and we go for things that have got loads and loads of stuff in, and then we go back to that simple thing. You're like, wow, there's like three ingredients in that and it tastes so good.
And is the best place you've ever eaten it in Italy?
Without a doubt. Yeah, they just, but I used to think that a pasta sauce has to have like loads of stuff in it. And I got this book called Pasta Grannies.
Oh, yeah. Have you heard of it? Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable book. And this tomato sauce is, I'm so bad for getting a recipe book, cooking one recipe out of it and then never looking at any of the others. But I promise I've looked at a few of these, of the different recipes. But the one that stands out to me, it's just got a tin of San Marzano tomatoes, a chili, garlic and olive oil. And that's it.
But they are the best tomatoes 100%, that you can get for cooking with, really, aren't they?
Yeah, they're so nice. And you don't realise until you have them the difference that they make to a pasta sauce over like your standard tin tomato.
So how often do you cook it?
Again, not as often as I should do. We go through stages. Sometimes what I do have more often than that is San Marzano tomatoes that are in the packet, so they're not in a tin.
Sure.
Bake them off with some garlic and some olive oil.
Yeah.
And then just that's your sauce.
Fab.
Yeah, roast it off. Yeah. Lovely.
And can you remember the first time you ever ate it?
It would have been when I was in Sestriere skiing. That would have been the first time. Yeah. But I also, when I'm in Italy, I feel it's my duty to eat as much pizza as I can, because it's never quite the same when you come back, is it?
No, it's not. So you were at the base of a mountain at this time, and that it was sunny and but then you had this amazing dish delivered to you.
That's it. Yeah. So I had that one, but then you've just taken my mind elsewhere, but I've never tried to make this. It was a vegetarian lasagna, but it was made with like a bechamel sauce.
Okay, yeah.
Oh my lord. It was heavenly. Like, even now I think about it, but I would never try and recreate it because I think I'd be bitterly disappointed.
No. What did you say earlier?
Yeah, very true.
Follow your own advice. It doesn't matter if it's not perfect. So you put your garlic, oil, garlic?
Yeah, so in a saucepan you put quite a considerable amount of oil. You kind of like a couple of, about a centimetre or two's worth in the pan. So I go small pan.
Yeah.
And you put it on the lowest setting, on the lowest hob. I think it's got 4 or 5 garlic cloves in there, because if you're going with garlic, you want to taste it, don't you?
Especially in a simple dish, I think.
That's it. 15 minutes on that. And then for the final 5 minutes, add in a chilli.
Lovely.
After that, put the tomatoes in and leave them, again, same temperature, you don't touch it, for about an hour. Take out the chilli, unless you want it really hot. Blend it with a stick blender, and then there's your sauce, and you can keep it blipping away if you want.
Okay, so you're putting the chilli in whole.
Yes.
Do you stab it?
There you go. Yeah, it gets just, that heat seeps through slightly. Sure. It's got a bit of a mellow heat. But like I say, if you're a chilli lover, it would probably maybe turn it into a bit of an arrabbiata that way, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, give it a kick. So you are a pasta lover then, because that's the tagliatelle, the lasagna. I'm seeing a theme here.
Yeah, because I also love, this is turning into like a pasta podcast, isn't it?
Maybe that baking book needs to change.
I do love a spinach and ricotta Ravioli.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's a good choice. Mm. But it's a bit trickier to make, isn't it?
It's kind of
one of those things that you need a bit longer to
Quite time consuming.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, it sounds amazing. And so you're saying you use tinned San Marzano, or sometimes you would... Do you ever make that pasta using that other method where you would put the San Marzano...
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah, that's really nice with linguine. Rather than bake them. Yeah.
Same amount of oil?
A little bit less oil. I just drizzle it with oil. And then, yeah, once it's baked, because they then blister and then they burst, and then you've got your sauce, haven't you? And the olive oil, oh, it's lovely, honestly.
I just think it's that the simplicity of it. Mm-hmm. You know that you've not spent any time on it, and you get this amazing meal.
Exactly.
Right, we're going to move on to confessions now.
Okay.
I would like to know what your biggest cooking disaster is.
I'm going to go big with this confession.
Yeah, I love it. Bigger the better.
Okay, when I was practicing for Bake Off, I was practicing... It was the dog cake.
Dog. Yeah.
Originally, it was lying down because this happened.
It
was originally supposed to be stood. But I went to... They said it had to be for, I think, feed like 20 people. I assumed 20 could eat a lot more than what I was trying to make. So it was huge. And it just was not what... It was slipping and sliding. And I just lost my... I just... splatted it.
Yeah,
and there was like instant regret because it went everywhere.
Oh no.
And Lara came down like, what have you done? But that's why it was lying down in the end.
Okay, so when you were like trialing it,
and it was just not working, and it was...
So how were you were basically layering the sponges up and then sitting it up as if it was like a dog begging for...
That's it, and then I was going to carve it out, and it just didn't materialise, okay. And I just... I squished it with my hand.
So it was in two halves at that point.
It was in numerous halves.
Have you ever served something ready-made and pretended you made it yourself?
No, I haven't. No, I'm quite honest.
Yeah. You know what they say about people that answer quickly?
Oh, they say this.
That's guilty.
No,
I'm joking there.
No, I haven't.
No. You wouldn't ever be tempted?
No, I'm not really bothered. No.
You actually made it. And then pretended that it was from a packet.
I did do that, yeah. I pretended that someone else had made it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So you used to take the cakes and be like, oh, this was my mum's.
Only once. One of the boys that were in my form a few years back said, he said that he's good at making brownies. And I said, I'm not, I know someone who's not bad. I don't know why I didn't just say it was me. And yeah, he brought them in, I brought them in.
Yeah.
They thought that Lara had made them.
Who won?
Lara.
You still didn't tell them,
no.
What's your guilty, like your food guilty pleasure?
I have a huge sweet tooth. I just love chocolate. Yeah. I can just eat it. And I don't tend to realise that I've eaten too much until it's too late as well. I just go and go and go.
That's when you eat crisps and you start over. Mm. So if you put crisps in the middle, I find I can eat more chocolate.
Oh, okay.
Because I get that like... the sweet, I don't know, like a sweet refresh.
Okay, that's not a tip I need, honestly. That's dangerous for me.
I guess a sweet tooth helps because of the baking. Not that all baking's sweet, but...
Yeah, most of mine is, to be fair. I think that's probably to satisfy my own sweet tooth. Yeah. Quite selfish, really.
Well, yeah, but you've also gone to the effort, you know?
True.
Why not? I think that's all right. I've also actually got a confession, which is that, you know, I said I used to be a teacher.
Yeah.
One of my students was Tasha.
No way.
Yes.
Was it really?
It was, yeah. So I messaged Tasha and I said that you were coming on the podcast. And I was like, what can I ask? I wanted something a little bit more, like, you know, a bit more scandalous. But what she asked me to say, have you expanded your savoury horizons past prawn curry?
I thought she was going to stitch me up with something else then.
But... Well, I was hoping she might stitch you up. I was like, that's so vanilla.
Well... I can't believe that you teach Tash. Okay, do you want the background?
Yeah,
I want
the whole story.
When we first got to the hotel, we stayed at the same hotel every single time we went up. So we went up the night before the first day of filming, and then you'd have the middle night, and then I would always go back. So I'd eat at least twice at the hotel. When we first got there was this menu that has got loads of stuff on it, and we was all like buzzing. And the first thing I had was a prawn curry. And I think I had it every single time I was there, other than twice.
Really?
Yeah.
You loved it.
I just knew what I was getting. I was safe. But halfway through, they changed it. Not halfway through. I think on about week 8 or 9, they changed it to a a different type of curry.
Yeah.
Still prawn. Different part of Asia.
It were you fuming?
I was. It's it.
I thought that you were going to say that you basically cooked a prawn curry and it was terrible or something, but I loved it. You just would go and have the same dish every time.
I would look through the menu as if I was contemplating anything else, but then, yeah, straight back to what I knew.
How long did it take them to twig that you'd been ordering the same thing?
Not long.
And then the second question, final question, she said, do you know if Paul has been celebrating Arsenal's win against Liverpool?
This is what I thought she was going to stitch me up on. Paul from Liverpool supports Liverpool.
Yeah.
Like most Liverpudlians. And if it's not Liverpool, it's Everton.
Yeah.
But Tash managed to convince me that he supported Arsenal.
Oh.
So I said to him, they do this royal tour, which is what they call it, which is when they come around to all the bakers and they ask what you're making.
Yeah.
And I asked him how long he's been an Arsenal fan for, and he looked at me. I thought he was going to punch me in the face. The disgust. And he said, have you heard my accent? Do you know where I'm from? I'm so sorry for him.
Was she
She was
like
in front of me,
like
dying of laughter, yeah.
I love that. Right, it's time for our quick fire questions now. So I will ask them quickly, and quick answers are appreciated. What's your favourite kitchen job?
Chopping.
What did you have for dinner last night?
Chicken and coconut with rice.
What's your favourite sandwich filling?
Tuna and sweet corn.
Oh, that's a really good choice.
But not with mayo.
Okay.
Olive oil.
Oh, yeah. Bougie.
Yeah, I'm not a lover of mayo.
Okay. That sounds quite oily.
Yeah, I guess it does, but it's not, okay. I promise.
The best kitchen tip you've ever been given?
Use a dough scraper.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
What do you listen to when you're cooking?
Sometimes nothing. Sometimes just on shuffle.
Yeah.
Sometimes a podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Good Food Podcast.
Always.
Your most trusted recipe?
Victoria sponge.
And what would that involve?
250 grams of unsalted butter.
Yeah.
Flour and caster sugar, 5 medium eggs.
Oh, that's very well.
Some vanilla rehearsed. As well.
Most overrated food?
Oh. Mushrooms.
Mushrooms. Most underrated food?
Oh, that's quite difficult, isn't it?
Is there anything that you love that your family just do like, nah?
I quite like bovril on toast with some cheese.
Oh, it's like a yeast extract. That's a yeast
that
extract.
That makes it sound so minging.
toast in bed, yes or no?
Yeah, if you're hungry, why not?
Although
it is, I see where people would be against that. Maybe not on your side of the bed.
Just like lean over. Worst thing you've ever eaten?
It's very palatable. I'm just not a lover of shepherd's pie.
Oh, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, like, it's so inoffensive, isn't it? But it's just...
Texture, is it?
Probably, it's very... do you know what? I think it stems back... I used to have it a lot on a Sunday evening. When I was at school, it just reminds me of having school in the morning.
Yeah, fair enough. It's like you've associated it.
That's it, yeah.
And then you put yourself back into school.
I know, yeah.
And what is your ultimate comfort food?
Anything chocolate. Like, literally anything.
Yeah. Have you got a favourite type? Is it like milk chocolate, dark chocolate?
I do love dark chocolate, which is hugely convenient because not many people do.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Again, anything that I get more of, I seem to be drawn towards.
You'll be with the strawberry and orange creams.
Oh, no, I'm not a lover of. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah.
And then our last question that we ask everybody is, what makes you optimistic for the future? That's not quickfire.
lots can change very, very quickly, can't it? So you never know what's going to happen. So
we'll look forward
to it.
Yeah. Okay, that's very nice. That's very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great to have you on. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. It's been good.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Good Food Podcast. Join us next week when Orlando Murren will be speaking with Dina Mackey about the food of Oman in Zanzibar. Don't forget, our bonus cook-along episode is out on Thursday. For more recipes and inspiration, please visit bbcgoodfood.com.